Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, March 3rd, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Today in Genesis chapter 46, we have some genealogies. We have the sons of Jacob and then their sons. Usually when we approach a list of these names, I go ahead and I read them, and we do it, I think, to be able to say, okay, I read that entire passage. And sometimes the names are very important. They help us to think about something that's going to happen in the future. But sometimes I think we lose the point of the entire passage because we kind of drift away in the midst of all of my less than stellar pronunciations of these words. And so if you'll give me a little liberty today, let me make this clear, I'm not reading all of chapter 46, but I thought I might just go through and kind of give some explanations when we get to the names of Jacob's sons and their descendants. Chapter 46, Jacob goes to Egypt. So Israel set out with all that was his, and when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, Jacob, Jacob. Here I am, he replied. I am God, the God of your father, he said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again. And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. Then Jacob left Beersheba, and Israel's sons took their father Jacob and their children and their wives in the carts that Pharaoh had sent to transport him. They also took with them their livestock and their possessions they had acquired in Canaan. And Jacob and all his offspring went to Egypt. He took with him to Egypt his sons and grandsons, and his daughters and granddaughters, all his offspring. These are the names of the sons of Israel, Jacob and his descendants, who went to Egypt. Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob, the sons of Reuben, and then he lists four sons. The sons of Simeon, and then he lists six sons, and he makes a note that one of them, Shaul, was the son of a Canaanite woman. The sons of Levi, three of them. The sons of Judah, there were five, but Er and Onan had died in the land of Canaan. The sons of Perez, there were two. The sons of Issachar, four are listed. The sons of Zebulun, three. These were the sons Leah bore to Jacob in Padan Aram, besides his daughter Dinah. These sons and daughters of his were 33 in all. The sons of Gad, and then he lists seven. The sons of Asher, and there are four. Their sister was Sarah. The sons of Beriah, which is one of the four sons of Asher, and then he lists two. These were the children born to Jacob by Zilpah, whom Laban had given to his daughter Leah, 16 in all. The sons of Jacob's wife Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin. In Egypt, Manasseh and Ephraim were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. The sons of Benjamin, and then 10 are listed. These were the sons of Rachel who were born to Jacob, 14 in all. The son of Dan, Hushim, there's only one listed. The sons of Naphtali, four are listed. These were the sons born to Jacob by Bilhah, whom Laban had given to his daughter Rachel, seven in all. All those who went to Egypt with Jacob, those who were his direct descendants, not counting his sons' wives, numbered 66 persons. With the two sons who had been born to Joseph in Egypt, the members of Jacob's family, which went to Egypt, were 70 in all. Now Jacob sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to get directions to Goshen. When they arrived in the region of Goshen, Joseph had his chariot made ready and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as Joseph appeared before him, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. Israel said to Joseph, "Now I am ready to die, since I have seen for myself that you are still alive." Then Joseph said to his brothers and his father's household, "I will go up and speak to Pharaoh and will say to him, 'My brothers and my father's household, who were living in the land of Canaan, have come to me. The men are shepherds, they tend livestock, and they have brought along their flocks and herds and everything they own. When Pharaoh calls you in and asks, "What is your occupation?" you should answer, "Your servants have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as our fathers did." Then you will be allowed to settle in the region of Goshen, for all shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians. Our psalm for today is Psalm 75. This is also a psalm of Asaph, so it perhaps is after the temple is destroyed when the Babylonians have come into Jerusalem. And verse 2 says this, "You say, 'I choose the appointed time. It is I who judge uprightly.'" And the psalmist is saying that about God, that he chooses the appointed time. And my Bible study note said this, "God will act when he is ready. Children have difficulty grasping the concept of time. It's not time yet is not a reason they understand easily, because they only comprehend the present. As limited human beings, we cannot understand God's perspective about time. We want everything now, unaware that God's timing is better. When God is ready, he will do what needs to be done, not what we would like him to do. We may be as impatient as children, but we must not doubt the wisdom of God's timing. Wait for God to reveal his plan. Don't take matters into your own hands." Psalm 75, for the director of music, to the tune of Do Not Destroy, a psalm of Asaph, a song. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, for your name is near. Men tell of your wonderful deeds. You say, "I choose the appointed time. It is I who judge uprightly. When the earth and all its people quake, it is I who hold its pillars firm. To the arrogant I say, 'Boast no more,' and to the wicked, 'Do not lift up your horns. Do not lift your horns against heaven. Do not speak with outstretched neck. No one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt a man, but it is God who judges. He brings one down, he exalts another. In the hand of the Lord is a cup full of foaming wine mixed with spices. He pours it out, and all the wicked of the earth drink it down to its very dregs. As for me, I will declare this forever. I will sing praise to the God of Jacob. I will cut off the horns of all the wicked, but the horns of the righteous will be lifted up." And now let's move over to John. I've been so excited about reading this passage today. John chapter 11, starting in verse 17, and we'll go through verse 44. The title says, "Jesus Comforts the Sisters of Lazarus." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said.
"But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. What a powerful story that we have read together about Lazarus being raised from the dead. One of the parts of the story that sticks out to me is Martha's interaction with Jesus. Verse 21. She says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." I tend to gravitate to these two words in prayer, "even now." I have such a small view of what God can do, but this story of Martha's interaction with Jesus reminds me that the God of the universe is at work in Jesus the Christ. And even now, he is at work in the situations around us. Now, it may not be according to the timing that we prefer, as we read in the psalm as well, but God is at work and he is doing things for his glory and for our good. And so, Lord, we just rest in that promise that you are at work. And we pray for the situations in our lives that even now you would be at work in the people who need to know you and those who have strayed from you, that you would be working as the shepherd going out for the one sheep. We pray for our nation and for the nations around the world. We pray for the situation in Ukraine. We pray that even now you would be at work. We thank you, Lord, for the promise that you are our shelter in times of need. We thank you for your provision in the lives of the Israelites, that Joseph went ahead of them, and you are preparing the way in situations that we cannot understand. And so we thank you and we praise you, and we ask, Lord, that you would be with us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.